to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. On this episode, we are chatting with Henry Teer and Dylan Kelly. Who the hell are these blokes, I hear you ask? Well, listen up and you're going to bloody find out. Because this is a story of home brewers falling in love with brewing, getting good enough to actually follow their dreams and turning that hobby into a real job, and then loving brewing so much they continued to homebrew, all the while going one step further, starting a small business that is looking to help others get into home brewing. Yep, these boys are the gifts that keep on giving. So, let's talk about their journey tonight. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Henry and Dylan from Brewbox.
G'day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome aboard, lads. It's great to have you here. If I get distracted tonight, it's because I'm trying to multitask. I've got the T20 Big Bash on in the background and half a dozen double stuff Oreos to go down with my beer tonight. So,
beautiful.
How good are double stuff Oreos?
Oh, no. What are you drinking?
A Rover Henty Street Ale. It's a school night. So what about you guys? What do you got in front of you?
I'm going the Captain Sensible.
Nice. Yeah. One of my favorites. Shout out to Scotty and Steel.
I got a glass of my homebrewed English brown ale.
Oh,
off
nice.
House.
Well, where do we start tonight? I reckon what we might do. So, for everybody that doesn't know, these boys here tonight have a company called Brewbox, which is designed to help homebrewers get into the game in the most, you know, simplest and easiest way while producing great quality beer. And we'll get onto that shortly. But first up, we probably should go back a few steps because you guys are actually pro brewers in your own rights now. And let's talk about how you made it to there because you both work for Four Points. Boys, tell us a little bit about, maybe Dylan, you go first. Tell us a bit about how you got into brewing.
So I don't know. When I was allowed to start drinking, I got into craft beer pretty quickly. Pretty quickly realized I couldn't afford to drink what I wanted. I ended up doing, there's a good, really, really good home brewing community in Perth, which is where I'm from. That was made it pretty easy to get into just all grain brewing. Did that for a few years, moved on to, ended up just stopping brewing and everything, ended up living in a van in New Zealand. And in the off season, just luckily got an assistant brewer job. Not that I was looking for that, but yeah, ended up working as assistant brewer at Renaissance the top of the South Island.
Nice.
Worked over there as assistant brewer for a little bit. Ended up moving back to Perth, working for a small brewery south of Perth in Mandurah called Thorny Devil. And then ended up making the move over to Sydney for the job at Four Pines. So I've been here, 2 years now, I think. So I was working at the Brookvale Production Brewery, which is where I met Henry. We started a week apart.
Oh, cool.
And now I'm at the Manly Brew Pub.
Oh, I love that place. That's a ripping place. Absolutely brilliant. And what about you, Henry? How did you fall in love with beer?
Yeah, so I made the move over to the UK a couple of years out of school and just felt like a change and sort of started trying, you know, the local English beers, your bitters and all the cask ale and then, you know, your nice Belgian triples and really start to find out that beer could be more than just, you know, your adjunct lager and there's so many different styles out there and really start to fall in love with it. And I was working in pubs at the time, came back to Australia and was managing a few craft beer pubs in the city of Sydney. And fell in love with beer even more, left that and started working with another local Brookvale brewery, Dad and Dave's. So I started there. Bit of a joint sales sort of operations assistant brewer role. Just it was just myself and Dave, and of course Dad, John, sort of doing whatever needed doing. And then after 2 years with them, made the move over to Four Pines. And as Dylan said, we started a week apart. He'll tell everyone that it was a week before, so he's been there longer. But yeah, we ended up on shift together pretty quickly, and sort of yeah, just running around trying to figure out what was going on and brewing some awesome beers.
Yeah, so how long have you guys been there for now? Sorry.
Just over 2 years. Yeah.
Just over 2 years.
Yeah.
Seen any changes, you know, in your time there? Maybe the way that they brewed their beers, what they've released, or freshie, maybe? I can't bag you out about freshie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's like everything's still the same, you know, despite what a lot of people will say. You know,
yep.
We still brew the beer the same, you know, with the same love and passion, just with a bit better equipment and quality assurance, you know. So if anything, the beer's actually getting better. So it's awesome company to work for. I made the move down to Melbourne a year ago, staying with Four Pines just to open the new brew pub down here.
That's what you mentioned this week, didn't you? I was trying to work out where you're from, because I can't remember where you said you were in terms of which of the location. I was thinking to myself, I think that's in Melbourne, but Yeah, that's
exactly what we've
done, right?
Yeah, so we've got a partner venue down here. Run the brewery side of it, and local hospitality group, the Welcome To Group, or 100 Burgers, they run the hospo side.
You know, you mentioned before that you're still brewing the beers with love and you're on better equipment. That's the thing I think people sometimes don't realise. You know, we get all high and mighty about, you know, independent versus big beer, and forget that there are real people, real jobs making real beers in these places. And that, you know, as much as you hate the big conglomerates or whatever, the people that are there are fucking awesome people. You know, yeah. Brewing great beers. I feel sorry for you guys sometimes. Having been on that side of the fence myself also, I do feel a bit sorry for you sometimes that you sort of seem to get tarred with the same brush, but you're still brewing great beer, aren't you?
We try to. We've got a few gold medal winners from the European Beer Star Awards, so can't be doing too bad.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about what you guys do at Four Pines?
Yeah, but like as we're saying there, just that, you know, the beer has changed. You know, that we're using cheaper ingredients and you know, trying to rush the process. But yeah, not at all. It's completely opposite. We everyone who works on the floor and in the office and our sales team, everyone loves what they do, and just yeah, we want to see the beer. The beer industry as a whole, you know, growing and people enjoying, you know, great beers. And, you know, a lot of the time people will, you know, start with a nice Four Pines pale ale and from there they'll transition into trying, you know, other things. It just makes it more accessible for the, you know, general beer consumer.
I'm a big fan of the American brown ale. I haven't had it in quite a while because it's pretty hard to get. But I remember being somewhere up in Brisbane one time on the river, and American brown ale was on tap, which, you know, you don't get that down in Hobart. So I was straight into that for the night. That is, American brown ales are so underrated, I reckon. I wish there were more of them around.
Yeah. Is that the amber, American amber? Is it?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Brown amber. Yeah. Same.
No, that's a great beer.
You know,
you don't get it down in Tassie.
No. So, you know, obviously you've got your core range of beers, and then you've got all the Kellador range. What's your favourite beer to brew and drink out of the Four Pines range?
Yeah, I just love pale. when it's super fresh. Tasting it from the bride tank when you're going through a centrifuge, and I really can't go past that.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
Oh, serious? Really? Wow.
Yeah, when it's super fresh, it's an absolutely cracker of a beer. I brew it down in Brunswick as well. We've got four serving vessels, and one of them is constantly stocked with pale ale, and I make sure I'm turning it over every 2 weeks, so it's super fresh.
Fresh. Hey, one of the things that I was very thankful for having worked in at Lion was the access to consumer research and trends and all those kinds of things. You know, we've forever been given, you know, breakdowns of segments or types of beers or, you know, the latest bits of stuff coming out of the USA, all that sort of thing, which I really ate up. And it wasn't until I'd left and started doing all this sort of stuff that I realized that how much of that stuff, you know, rubbed off onto me and how much I actually retained, because it was just brilliant information. Have you guys, you know, seen the same thing where you are? And is that sort of what maybe helped give you the confidence to go out on your own with Brewbox?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, seeing the trend in people who are passionate about, you know, good beer and you know, trying, especially through COVID as well, people trying to, you know, fill in the days at home. So that was a big part of it, was, you know, just trying to give people access to being able to brew, you know, with fresh ingredients and, you know, the 4 key ingredients as opposed to, you know, the extract kits, and trying to make it as simple as possible for them. So, yeah.
For me, I just when I was going into homebrewing, for me, it was very confusing going into it with no real, real idea. Like, when the first time I was trying to make a recipe, I didn't realize there was more than, there were a bunch of different malts that go into a single beer. And yeah, I was pretty confused right from the start. But, I'm on a lot of, homebrew Facebook groups. I'm still that big one in Perth. You can always
and Brewbox home brewing community.
Yeah. you just always see the new brewers going in, and yeah, I can imagine they often feel as confused as I did at the start. With some of the new stuff, like stuff that Kegland does, Brewzilla and all that makes it a lot easier, but there's still the recipe part that's, still a bit confusing, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, home brewer myself too, that fucked up so many brews early on. And still, I'm really not that great. I rely a lot on a few friends in the brewing community to help me sort of sort things out. Rate, review, and subscribe. 3 words that strike a chord in every sensitive 44-year-old podcaster who dreams of telling stories of craft beer. And something that I talk about a lot, but it really can get this little potty into more ears and therefore grow craft beer for all of us to enjoy. So even if you listen elsewhere, if you've got an iPhone, you've got Apple Podcasts, and therefore you can help out the show. Those 3 words, rate, review, and subscribe. So when I saw, you know, your website and you talked about, you know, process, quality, simplicity, you know, for me they're all, you know, great boxes to tick in terms of trying to get a decent beer out of your system, whatever that is, and not have to tip your first beer down the drain like I did.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and that's it. We don't skimp on quality. We're using best premium malts, premium hops, premium yeast, and really along with the simplicity of it, it's pretty hard to fuck up.
Yeah, I think one thing that's made it a lot easier now is the yeast, some of the yeast available. So in the past few years, or even more recently, Lallemand have released their Kvike yeast. So temperature control isn't an issue as it was before. You can brew a beer at 30 degrees.
Yeah. I did notice that on your website that you talked about using that yeast, the Kvike yeast. Are you using that in every single one of your recipes purely because it does brew out faster, you don't have that issue with the temperature control, it, you know, releases some nice sort of fruity esters into the beers too. So is that consistent through all your beers?
So yeah, all bar the sours. So we're using another Lallemand's yeast, the Philly Sour, which is a new yeast that produces lactic acid through fermentation. So it removes the need to kill sour.
And I was having a look tonight and I was like, look, there's like sour beer. Like, fuck. Like, you know, normally you've got to, when you do your kettle sour, it's keeping a certain temperature for X days, whatever it is. So I was thinking, how the hell are you doing that in what's sort of aimed at more, not entry level, but maybe new to this whole thing? You're introducing them to sour straight away. That's bloody genius, lads.
Yeah, those yeasts are just game changers.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. So let's talk a bit about the recipes. So far you've released, and correct me if I'm wrong or if I've missed one, you had a citrus summer ale, you had a sour, a stout, a milkshake IPA. Have I missed any? A
few others there.
Help me out here, will you?
Dilly, you want to go with that one, mate?
Yeah, sure. So we pretty much...
Hold on. Stop. Don't you fucking bag me out. You didn't update your bloody website, all right?
Well, they're updated.
Go on, show right. What do you got?
So I think what you were looking at was a screenshot from one of our early ranges, but pretty much what we do, we came out with six beers and had the plan of sort of taking out one and adding a new one each month.
Okay.
Keeps things interesting. Pretty unlikely someone will get through all of them, leaving them with no choices. So it allows us to sort of slowly move the range with the seasons, with, I don't know, ingredients that are available. Yeah, seems like a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your latest one? Is it the summer ale is your latest one?
Latest one's the mango smoothie sour.
Mango smoothie sour.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Bit of lactose in that.
Bit of lactose
Philly
in
sour?
There. Just a little bit. Yeah, bit of lactose and a bit of Philly sour.
And a bit of Philly sour. Nice. So, all right, so these kits. So first up, I want to know, who are you targeting?
Anyone.
I'm not sure whether that sort of broad business model is going to really work for you. Maybe you might just sort of have a bit of a think about your target market.
Yeah. We're targeting people who are either wanting to get into home brewing, and can go straight into, you know, all grain brewing without the hassle of getting all the equipment and dropping the fermentation temperature and learning how to create the recipes. But at the same time, you know, there's probably people out there who've been doing extract brewing for years and have always wanted to get into all grain brewing, and it's just that transition. So, you know, we know that there's going to be people who will do the brew boxes for a little bit and then maybe give them the confidence to go on and create their own recipes, which is great. You know, we want to open the door for people to be able to, you know, continue and even, you know, have a nice brewing journey where they may even end up as a professional brewer one day. But and you know, there also there'd be the people who just like the simplicity of having the recipes created for them, and they get to brew the beer. So
So what do you get, and what do you need to go from I've got nothing, I'm ordering one of your boxes, what else do I need, and what are you sending me down?
We encourage people to get the starter kit with their first order. So that includes the fermenter, a thermometer, the brew bag, an airlock, a spigot for the fermenter, and a bottling wand. And then on top of that, we just sort of, you know, your regular household items like a pot. So if you get in the 5 liter kit, normally people have a pot that size. If you get in the 10 liter, you probably need to buy a bigger pot than what most people have. But,
they're pretty available.
Not expensive.
Readily available. And then, you know, just, bottles as well, just cause there's so many options for bottling that we wanted to leave it open. Some people may like the flip tops, they may like capping them or just using the PET bottles. Everything else you'll have in your kitchen at home.
Yeah, nice. And so so in the kit, what are you shooting down?
So you'll be getting your malt, your hops. So, both your bittering, your aroma, or your dry hop. You'll generally get two out of three of them, depending on the recipe. And then your yeast as well, the sanitizer that you need for sanitizing both your bottles and your fermenter, and then also your brew card, which runs you through the entire brew day, the bottling card, fermenter guide, which basically runs you through what's happening during the fermentation.
It's pretty easy by the sounds of things.
Yeah, we've tried to make it sort of like the way you'd follow something like a HelloFresh recipe where everything's laid out for you. You can see everything you need on the front of the brew card. Then on the back, it's just pretty much eight pictures showing exactly what you need to do with a little description underneath. So yeah, there's not too much thinking outside the brew cart that you need to do.
I like the pitchers. The pitchers are good for me.
Yeah. And with the, then you also get the fermentation and bottling cards, which, we've tried to explain a bit of the process on them. So it's not a huge, like the fermentation isn't a hugely interactive process, but, we've sort of explained the steps of fermentation, what's happening inside there. Just trying to educate people a little bit, give them some good
that's the thing for knowledge. Me about you guys. That's, I think, you know, it's not a new idea what you're doing, and there are other options, aren't there? But what I like about what you guys are doing is that the two of you are pro brewers with real world experience. And for me, that's the most key thing here is that you are then around to help with the questions like when should I sanitize? How much sugar should I put in? All the little things. That's what you guys are for. I think it's the biggest selling point for me with what you're doing is that you've got all this stuff in your head that you can share out. How are you disseminating that knowledge to your customers?
So we've got the Facebook group, so Brewbox Homebrew Community. And that's readily available for anyone can jump on that, even if you haven't bought a kit. You know, it's just access to information. We were laughing at it when we first set it up because something like 80% of the people who were initially joined were professional brewers as well, because we just invited all our friends and they've jumped in as well.
Ah, okay, yeah,
most of them are happy to help out as well.
So you've got access to a pretty large community of brewers, not just the two of you, that can help everybody who's buying this kit to get amongst it. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, and always free to send us through a message on Facebook or Instagram as well. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to help anyone with any questions.
Oh, nice. And I've just jumped into the Brewbox, what do we call it, home brewing community, and noticed that there's a bearded bloke on there who's been making some videos. You've got, is this the Beer Scholar? That's not one of you guys, though, is it? It's taking me through, too.
The Kvike video you're talking about?
I'm trying to say is you're not afraid of ripping off other blokes.
if it's a good resource, we'll...
He explained it better than I could.
I totally agree with you. That's bloody fantastic. Why not?
Dylan was getting lazy that month. He normally writes a couple of articles and posts them, but I think he thought he'd get away with just ripping someone else off that month.
Come on, Dylan. Jesus. that's great because, seriously, there's so much information out there and sometimes you don't need to recreate stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I know I've stolen more than my fair share of videos from elsewhere when I've just pretty much recreated them with the beer healer persona over the top, but not my ideas. So, the path of least resistance, I reckon.
Exactly.
I try to write a few articles a month. We got a blog on the website as well. So at the moment we've sort of just gone through the ingredients, the basic steps of the brewing process and sort of how they relate to the brew box process. So people can sort of join the dots. We sort of do a bit of it's a brew in a bag sort of system we use. So it doesn't look exactly the same as how a commercial brewery would do it, but the steps are essentially the same. So we try to join the dots, talk about the goals of each step, what you're actually doing.
Yeah, and look, the brew in a bag is not new again, and there's lots of other systems that have done similar things, whether it be like the Braumeister that I've got that's got its own stainless steel bag, if you like, and that sort of thing. It's just a really easy way for brewers to get into this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of commercial breweries now that are actually using the Braumeister, on the larger scales.
Yeah.
No, like there's a local brewery around the corner from me in the north, and that's exactly their method, and it works well. It's very scalable.
I love brewing on my Braumeister. I just wish I had more time to do it at the moment. You think I would, having been locked down in COVID for a while. I've got a wife and kids. Bloody hell, they take up your time, don't they? I love them. I can say that. So.
You've got that to look forward to, Dil.
I know.
Oh, you got a baby on the way, mate?
I do. 3 months.
Ooh, your life is over.
I'm definitely brewing at home less already, so it's winding down.
My kids are 17 and 13, so I'm starting to get sleep-ins and just being able to go out for dinner with the wife and kids can look after themselves. And then my wife and asses and changing nappies for me, mate.
Yeah, now you just have to watch them around your beer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and yeah, you get the whole teaching the kid to drive. That's not awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of transitioning through life, you mentioned before about, you know, you're getting these brewers in who are fairly new to this and then keeping them around for a while and then, you know, they might go on and buy a Brewzilla or a Browmaster or whatever the case may be. What are your plans in terms of the business for maybe trying to keep them around for a little bit longer, or could you maybe partner with someone on the backside that you could sort of keep this process going for a little bit longer? Because, you know, as someone who's, you know, looking at it from the finance perspective, you don't really want those guys to come in just for a little short period and head out, do you?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I think that's the idea of having the rotating sort of recipes each month is to, you know, make sure that there's plenty of variety for the people who are happy to continue to just get the recipes. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of brewers who have been doing it with the extract kits for,
yep,
for years. You know, they'll say, oh, you know, brewing 30 years extract and they're happy with that. You know, it's, as we've said, you know, don't need to reinvent the wheel. We're teaching them how to, you know, move out of it if they want to. But we, you know, we're also hoping that, you know, the service that we're providing, a lot of people are actually happy to stay with it as well. But we've sort of said a lot of the time, you know, we in the same way that, you know, a lot of brewers, professional brewers you talk to, will say that they started on a, you know, a Cooper's extract kit. We'd love to
kilo, yeah,
yeah, exactly. We'd love to see in, like, you know, 5-10 years time, a whole heap of professional brewers coming through who started with, you know, a brew box, which would be epic.
Yeah, well, actually, now you put it that way, it's very similar to the whole Cooper's kit and kilo, isn't it? Then they don't stay around with doing that forever, do they?
Yeah, yeah, like not yeah, all the time. Like, yes, a lot of, like, yeah, some of them will, some of them won't. But it's just, you know, there's going to be a new generation coming through each time, and all it's going to do is benefit the beer industry in general, getting a lot more people, you know, through the doors and either doing it as a hobby or doing it as a profession, and we're just trying to make it more accessible.
You talked before about having 5 and 10 litre batches that you're doing. Was that about the pot size that you talked about before being sort of maybe cost prohibitive, or was it maybe about, you know, you're mailing these things around Australia and that mailing 5 kilos of grain and whatever else is going to start to get really exy to do? How did you come across that?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, mailing is a big part of the cost. So there's not actually that much difference in the cost between the 5 and the 10 for us. But we were just trying to, you know, again, having that accessibility where a lot of people don't, you know, might not have the space to do the 10 litre, but still want to give it a go. And, you know, that 5 litre is one that you can very easily just do you know, everything you've already got in your kitchen, and then the 10 litre gives that option for people who you know, want to try and scale up a bit more and be brewing a bit higher volume.
I think one of the important things with it too was to make it so you could do it in your kitchen. On a normal stove, if you're going something like a 20 litre batch like most home brewers would do, you're not going to be able to boil it on your stove in general.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it was really focused, a big focus was on sort of small space brewing. So and not needing to invest in a bunch of extra equipment. So the cost of the equipment for this is pretty low. You can boil it on your stove. It's not going to take up a lot of room in your place. So yeah, it was really optimizing it for that.
Yeah, I forget you blokes are from the mainland where you live in apartments and stuff and don't have backyards and all that sort of thing like you do. I thought I might borrow upon your real life experiences as pro brewers for those that are listening, because, you know, a lot of the stuff when I speak to, you know, the people who have gone pro from being home brewers, it's like, how do I get my start? What are the breweries looking for when, you know, they want to hire a new brewer? So I just thought maybe whether you guys had some real life experiences or some advice you might have to to give to people who are listening who want to, you know, follow in your footsteps? What's the way they can give themselves the best chances to get into a brewery?
A lot of people, it's luck, but I think now it's becoming so much, there are a lot more people getting into it. So I'd go education for sure. Going for something like a IBD general certificate in brewing. There's the TAFE course, which Henry went through.
Yep.
Stuff like that. I think that will make anyone stand out above most other applicants with little to no experience.
Yeah, definitely education. I think just like a good work ethic. Don't go into it thinking that you're going to be on the brew house straight away. You know, there's just get in there, do whatever needs doing. You know, there's a lot of the small breweries. There's been, even with Four Pines, there's been people who have started in deliveries or, you know, sort of, and then move from there to the packaging line and then move from the packaging line into the brewery and just get your foot in the door and you know, express your interest to move up. And
you're going to do some shitty work along the way too.
Brewing is 90% cleaning, even now.
Yeah. What about mentors? Have you guys had some good mentors during your time?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been, we've both discussed it before, you know, in the time at Four Pines, just the amount of experience we've got there with Chris Wilcock, who's a master brewer, and then, you know, Lindsay, who's now gone up to Brewdog up in Brisbane, but also another master brewer. Tim Best, he's moved on to ABC Filling. But yeah, there's been some awesome mentors along the way at Four Pines for us. Yeah,
Four Pines for sure. It's ridiculous how many great brewers have gone through that place and are up in management and on the floor with you. But yeah, for sure, my early breweries as well. When I was at Renaissance, the Brian who owned Renaissance, great guy. And he owned the brewery for, I think, 10, 12 years, something like that. You see that you have to do all sorts of jobs. You got to fix everything yourself sometimes.
And what about for those people who are thinking of getting into the industry? And we talked about before the bit of the stigma of being part of a big brewery. Do you still believe it's a great way to get into the industry? Do you think that big beer is a good grounding for you to go on and do whatever the hell you want later on?
Oh yeah, for sure. Just learning the process from a large production facility, helps a hell of a lot. I think that there's a lot of things that have been missed in some of the smaller craft breweries,
quality control, things like that.
Yeah, just and you know, there's a lot of creativity out there and some really, really good brewers. But yeah, there's also some you know, sort of technical side to it that has been developed, you know, and you learn very quickly in a large production facility.
Yeah, there's so many procedures and stuff that are already in place when you go there. You just learn the right way to do things based on a lot of experience from people who've been there and developed all of those. So yeah, I really don't think there's a sort of better place to start than somewhere like Four Pines, which has a lot of equipment. You see a huge amount of stuff, heaps of knowledge there.
The one thing you guys haven't mentioned is relationships. Now, we spoke about someone that I knew at Four Pines that worked at Lion with me. You guys have dropped half a dozen names of master brewers and the like that you can then call upon, you know, maybe in future roles or whatever. And I think about the people that I've met, not just doing the podcast, but from my time at Lion that have gone on to, you know, be places like Umundi, Brick Lane, I could go on and on, Batch, you know, all these different breweries around the country. That's just that beautiful network which is what is so great about this craft beer industry, that, you know, you're always going to have a friend when you're at the pub, when you're a brewer that's worked in the industry, because there'll be someone in there, there'll be like 3 degrees of separation, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's a big industry, but also a very small industry. As we were saying, everyone knows everyone, and I think it's one of those great industries where everyone's always happy to help out and give their knowledge or lend a bag of grain when you can't get your supply there or whatever it is.
And there's nothing better than visiting your mate's brewery.
Yeah, and drinking his beer for free.
Yep.
Fantastic.
You've got to come back down to Melbourne, Henry.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, fellas, look, best of luck with Brewbox into the future. It sounds like you've had a really, really good start with your company. You've built in off a great base of knowledge from your time at Four Pines and elsewhere. And I think you're doing some really great things in terms of the product that you're putting out there. So, good luck with it all. I hope you can we can see you again another 12 or 18 months and see you guys taking the next step and really starting to smash out some more great brews and build that that community that you're working on and be sharing some of the great knowledge that you're getting from your time at Four Pines. So well done, fellas.
Yeah, cheers for that. Yeah.
Thanks, really appreciate it.
And just before we leave, if people want to get hold of you, where are they going to find you?
Brewbox.beer is the website, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find some of their stolen videos on YouTube. That's brilliant. Fellas, thanks so much for your time tonight. It's been really fun meeting you and hearing about your business idea. I think it's a ripper, so good luck.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Thanks for that.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.